the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is today's special and the topic is giving gifts in Islam.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Today, Tuesday, is the 15th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 17th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter An-Naml, verse 36, and the point of it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ سُلَيْمَانُ قَالَ أَتُمِدُّونَنِي بِمَالٍ فَمَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا آتَاكُمْ فَمَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا آتَاكُمْ بَلْ بهديتكم تفرحون.
So when they came to Solomon, he said, "Do you provide me with wealth? But what Allah has given me is better than what He has given you. Rather, it is you who rejoice in your gift."
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The motive of the Divine Prophets is not gaining worldly materials. The friends of Allah do not sell themselves for money. They are keen, alert, and act decisively. They see the corruptible plans behind the presence and they avoid them while rebuking their senders. However, the officials of the queen carrying the caravan of presents left Yemen towards Syria, where the Prophet Sulaiman lived. They imagined that Sulaiman would become happy by seeing those abundant presents and might praise them.
The greatest gift. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. The greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah.
This is today's special, and we're speaking about giving gifts in Islam. When a person has love, respect, affection, regard, or goodwill toward another, then naturally gifts will be exchanged in order to strengthen that bond. It is a commendable act and something that the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, encouraged his followers to practice in. It is a catalyst for friendship and unity where both parties benefit. In Islam, a gift is called a hadiyah. This is where an offering is given to another in an expression of love and admiration, and through it the pleasure of Allah sought. It is classed as a gift if, however, something is given to anyone for the sake of Allah with the intention of earning the reward of the hereafter, considering the receiver as a poor and destitute, it will be charity. Both are commendable and will earn the person reward in the next life.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about various aspects of offering presents and gifts to friends in Islam. So we find that for reinforcing human relations and expressing our attention and our regard to others, there are very important ways and important and considerable modes for doing this, for showing our regard or love or friendship to others. Certainly, giving gifts to others is one of the means that reinforces love and attention to others. In the Holy Quran, the word hadiyah, taken from the same root from which the word hadiyah or gift is is derived, is used in the Holy Quran in the case of a camel that's sacrificed in the middle of the Hajj processes in Mecca. What does it mean? People are instructed to sacrifice a camel in a certain stage in the process of performing the Hajj in Mecca and dedicate it as a gift to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need the camel and its flesh or its blood or its bones. Rather, what's indicated in the Holy Quran is that by doing this, people are instructed to express the piety and to show the piety with regard to the religious instructions and with regard to what's already indicated in the case of rituals as formulated and stipulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Having gift as a sign of gratitude. It is related that the Apostle of Allah said, whoever failed to give thanks to anyone who did a favor to him failed to give thanks to Allah. In Islam, we are taught to be grateful. Gift-giving is a great way to express your gratitude for someone. Gifting has twofold benefits in Islam: to earn the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and strengthening bonds between the gift-giver and the recipient, among others. A gift does not have to be expensive, but make it a thoughtful one. When you give gifts with ihsan, that means excellence, it will always be appreciated. Looking for gifts for giving family or friends? How about gifts that give back? Shop from your Islamic gift store wherever you live.
The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The gift of life He granted us, how could we ever repay? Show gratitude to your Creator, and please do not delay.
Now, for this episode, what is our suggestion for best Islamic gift? Scarves and abayas for wedding. Muslim women always love to wear abayas and scarves to follow Islamic sayings. Therefore, they love to receive these two items as gifts from their friends and family members. On the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan, the use of scarves and abayas increases. Therefore, it becomes one of the hottest items of Islamic gift ideas in Muslim countries. Numerous types of scarves are available in the market. Some of them are from the embroidery category, while some belong to a straight clothing type. Also, they are not very much costly. Gifting such items to your ladies will surely spread love. So, what are you waiting for? Go shopping and buy some beautiful abayas and scarves for your wife and daughters to show some love.
My dear brothers and sisters, I want to analyze generosity from an Islamic perspective and giving. The Quran, throughout the Quran, reminds people to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are a lot of things that come with giving. First of all, even in pre-Islamic times, for the Arabs, at that time, giving was regarded as a noble and honorable trait. The Arabs would give. They had many vices. They would steal, they would abuse, they would assault, but then they would also give. This is why when they describe them in pre-Islamic times, they say, Wahabun Nahab, meaning during the day, he is, or at night, he goes and he raids other camps, but during the day, he's coming and he's giving, and he, and if a guest comes, they come and they slaughter a whole sheep and they give everything for the sake of the guest. This was some of the qualities that the pre-Islamic times, the Arabs of pre-Islamic times, they had. And the religion of Islam encouraged that. The religion of Islam continued that, because giving is a noble and virtuous act. Giving is difficult. A lot of us, we give when we die, because I'm not taking anything with me, so I'm giving when I die. But during my life, it's not easy. And Allah says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. The mu'min, the believer, is the one who gives, even if that means they're taking from themselves. And then, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The one who is able to control their own greed and their own desires, then that is the successful person.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection, and of course, don't forget to follow us on parstoday.com/en, today's special. By the way, we continue this interesting topic that was giving gifts in Islam.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and since today is the day following the Battle of Uhud, in which Hazrat Hamza, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet's valiant uncle, was not just tragically martyred, but his liver torn from his body and chewed by an Arab infidel, let us listen to the Holy Prophet's saying on the importance of pilgrimage to the graves of the righteous. Whoever visits my grave but does not visit the grave of my uncle Hamza has indeed been unkind to me.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very interesting hadith. And the reason why it's so interesting is that this hadith is actually about another hadith. To explain, in this hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is asked about a hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet. It's a very famous hadith. Everybody's heard this hadith. And a lot of people interpret it in various ways, which sometimes are not so accurate based on what we're going to learn about today. This hadith says, اختلاف أمتي رحمة. The Holy Prophet said, the اختلاف of my nation is a mercy. So this is like a difference of opinion regarding the meaning of this word اختلاف here. A lot of people say that the disparagement, the conflict in my nation is a mercy, right? Like the people differing with one another, arguing with one another, having differences of opinion with one another, this is a mercy. And then they go on and they explain how this could be a mercy, and so on and so forth. Right? So this is one of those hadiths and traditions which are interpreted in a lot of different ways. So one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, whose name was Abdul Mu'min al-Ansari. So he comes to the Imam and he says the following. He says, verily some people narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, the separation, the ikhtilaf of my community is a mercy. And they were truthful. So I asked that if their separation is a mercy, then is their congregation a chastisement? It's interesting. So this person kind of, based on the interpretation that he kind of understood from this hadith, he says that if the separation of a group of people from the ummah is a mercy, then they're coming back to the ummah. Would it be a punishment? Would it be a kind of chastisement for the ummah? What's going on here? What is this hadith imply here? Can you explain it to me? The Imam replied in the following, it is not as you understand it, nor as they understood it. Actually, he, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meant to allude to the following saying of God Almighty, but why should not there go forth a group from each of their sections? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alluding to this verse of the Holy Quran. This is a famous verse of the Holy Quran, which encourages people from different parts of the Islamic world to go forth, to leave their homes, to come to centers of learning, to learn about religion, and then go back to their communities. So the Prophet was alluding to this verse of the Holy Quran. In continuation, the Imam says, so he commanded them to go forth to the Prophet, to come visit the Prophet, and to frequent him and learn from him, then to return to their people and teach them. So that what is meant is physical separation from their cities, or their villages, or wherever they're from, not separation or difference with regards to religion of Allah. For rarely the religion of Allah is one. It doesn't mean that, you know, this there are various distinctions and differences of opinion, the different madhahib, the different sects within Islam. This is something good and this is a mercy and this is actually something that shouldn't be prevented. No, this is not what this means. Rather, it refers to separation, leaving one's cities and coming and learning Islam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We're looking at the ikhtilaf of the nation and its being a mercy in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى جميعهم.
Welcome back, respected brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with us. Inshallah, we'll continue with التقاء الساكنتين or رفع التقاء الساكنتين. The prohibition or avoiding the two sakin letters meeting each other. So, if you are ready, we studied everything we learned about and we explained, okay, what it really is, what it really means, okay? Now, inshallah, there are many cases that the iltiqa'u sakinatain or the meeting of two sakin letters happen, okay, in many cases. So, step by step and one by one, inshallah, we will talk about them, then we will apply the rules on some examples in the verses of the Holy Quran. All right. Okay, so we understood the meaning of iltiqa'u sakinatain. Okay, one thing, just remember guys, if a word ends with a mutaharrik letter, okay, a letter that has harakat, but before that we have a sukun. So it means two sakin letters if we have. One sakin letter we have. So when you stop at that word, the last letter as well changes to sukun, for example, if it is not tanween fatha. So two sakin letters we have at the end of a word. And you make a pause there.
Do not understand.
So there is no problem. Okay? You, as Yahya said in the previous session, okay, he said that you read both of them with the harakat of the first letter. First letter has a harakat. The second letter has sukun. And the third letter, which is the last letter of the word, it's as well changed. The harakat is changed to sukun. So one mutaharrik, which has harakat, and two sakin letters we have. So in this case, you read both sakin letters with that mutaharrik letter, okay?
But for example. But we said like with kasra.
No, like, I mean when it's at the end. So remember, there is a point, okay? There is an exception.
But if it's in the end, the last one will be sakin.
I mean, I'm saying that, yes. If it is changed to sukun, so two sakin letters, in this case, no problem. You read both sukun letters, sakin letters, okay, with the harakat of that mutaharik letter. For example, okay? Sabrun. So if you make a pause?
Sab.
Sabr.
B.
No? Sabr.
صبر.
Simply by ساكن را ساكن.
صبر.
You read it. صبر.
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 Okay, that's it. Right? Like you say عذابٌ, you change بُن التنوين ضمة to سكون عذاب. Now, if we have a second letter, then the last letter, صبرٌ, again, change it to سكون, صبر, easy. So two second letters we have, but there is no problem with it, okay? So you just simply make them ساكن. Is that right?
Yes.
So now we are talking about, inshallah, another important issue, another important point is this. That when, for example, there is another exception. Just 1 minute, there is another exception, okay? So this was when you make a pause, okay? That you change both letters, the harakat of both letters. I mean, the last letter to sukun. So two sakin letters are there. There is no problem with it, okay? If there is, look, what is the last ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha? غَيْرِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ ضَا ends with an alif.
Yeah.
Alif is ساكن, it doesn't have haraka. ضَال لام has تشديد. تشديد means two.
Yes,
same letters, identical letters. So the first letter is ساكن. Alif ساكن, لام ساكن. Two.
So we join like...
Ah, you join them. Because it has alif maddi, so you join it. You don't need to hurrik bil kasra, you don't need it. You do not assign it with kasra, with dhamma.
So you just say dhalin.
Dhalin. Why? Because alif does not accept any harakat. That's why you cannot assign it with kasra, fatha, or dhamma.
Yeah, he throws the harakat.
This is an exception. So what do you say? Waladhalin. You cannot say waladhalin. No, this is wrong. So you can't assign alif with fatha. That's why Min Halo say, what do? Just simply read it. You do not assign it with any haraka.
Yeah, we should just leave.
Waladhalin. Or for example, liyuhajjukum.
Liyuhajjukum.
That's the same. Alif, then jim sakin. Then the next jim you have. لِيُحَاجُّكُمْ the same. So in this case, you do not change it.
Yeah,
so
we don't two, read
so far,
them.
Yeah. So far, you studied two exceptions. Okay? Two exceptions. Understood? How many exceptions? Two exceptions.
Two exceptions.
The first exception was when the word ends with a mutaharrik letter, but before that it's talking like صبر. Okay? صبر.
So the
sabrun by sakin run, it is changed to sukun, yes?
Yes.
Because when you make a pause, sabr. So here two sakin letters, there is no problem.
Just
you do
jump
not
fast
make yeah, you sabr. Do not assign any sabr. Of them with any harakat. Okay, Mahdi? Neither the ba with any harakat nor the ra with any harakat. Understood? Nothing. Just read it. Sabr with the harakat of sad.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
وبختم كتابك أرقى وبختم كتابك أرقى.
The next exception was, I'm repeating this because it's very important. A lot of students make mistake. Okay, they don't know, for example, how to read
Dalin.
I don't remember how did I read this first time when I didn't know this rule. I don't know how did I read it. So I know I made a mistake the first time. So I don't know. I don't remember. So alhamdulillah, I forgot my mistake, alhamdulillah. Okay. The next was this dhalin, when we have alif maddi, okay? When we have alif maddi, then there is a second letter after that, because alif maddi is sakin, okay? The next letter is sakin. Two sakin letters, read it the normal way, okay? Don't need to assign it with any harakat. Dhalin liyuhajjukum. So, There is a word in Arabic, min. What does it mean, Mahdi?
Min.
Min. What does it mean?
From. Min means.
Min, no, not English word.
From.
From. It means from, okay? From, for example, ذهبت من القم إلى المشهد.
From قم. No, it's not من ال. It's من. No,
من قم إلى
من?
المشهد.
Oh, من القم. I said
from قم to من القم.
ذهبت من قم
إلى مشهد.
ذهبت من قم إلى مشهد.
From قم
so
to
the
مشهد.
Word ميم. ميم, I'm saying. The word من. So the word من sometimes... It approaches a ساكن letter. So min ends with ساكن letter, yes?
Yes, min.
So remember that we are talking about exceptions, then about the general rule, حرك بالكسر, assign it with كسره. So now we are talking about the exceptions. Okay? It means the exceptions that either we do not assign with any حركات or we assign with حركات, but other حركات, not كسره. ضمة or?
فتحة.
So, the word min, which ends with a sukun, mim, kasra, me, nun, sakin, min. So if it approaches Mahdi, think of this example, Mahdi. If it approaches, Mahdi, listen to me. If it approaches min, then there is alif and lam. There is alif and lam. So min, alif and lam. How do you read it? Lam is sakin, yes? Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped.
Minal.
Ah, minal. What harakat did you assign? What harakat did you use?
Fatha.
Simple, you didn't know it. You assigned
yeah,
it, yes?
I just said it.
You didn't know it. Okay. So, minal. So, the word min, the sakin noon is assigned with fatha. Remember always.
So, just minal? Just?
Minhal, no. Okay, minal.
So with that, minal. Like,
no, just
we don't
minal.
Have to say minal.
Yeah, the word min. Yes, the word min when it meets any, look, any silent letter, okay? Any sakin letter. Yeah, any sakin letter, not only alif lam. So any sakin letter that you can find. Okay? If it is min, then you have sakin letter. So minal arudi. Minas samai. Minal ma'i. Okay? So that's the next, it's the third exception, okay? So now we are talking about the group of exceptions that we assigned with fatha or dhamma. So Mahdi, if the word min approaches a sakin letter, which harakah do you assign the noon with? With fatha, right? The next rule talks about like three words which are important. Hum, kum, tum.
Hum, kum, tum.
Hum. One word means kum. They. Kum, you all. Tum, they. Okay? So, look, these three words, hum, kum, tum, all are pronouns in Arabic. So, they all are pronouns in Arabic.
What was kum?
Kum means you all. For example, lakum, for you all. Bikum, with you all. Minkum, from you all. Yes. Ilaykum, To you all. Yeah.
Ilaykum.
Okay? Ilaykum. So.
You see, when we speak Arabic.
Salamun alaykum. Salam to you all.
Wa ana lam aqula wa alaykum assalam.
Wa alaykum assalam.
I won't say it.
Look, alaykum assalam. Alaykum. Sakin. Mim sakin. Good example. Thank you, Mahdi. Let's recite a salawat for Mahdi. So, alaykum assalam.
Alaykum assalam. Just read that.
Ah, how did you? No, look. The mim is sakin. Alaykum, mim sakin.
Because, but we used
there is
we used dhamma.
As-salam, yeah, wait. As-salam, so it is alif lam ta'rif, right?
Yes.
Lam ta'rif with hamzatul wasl. Hamzatul wasl will be skipped.
Yes.
When you join the words.
Yes.
Lam is sakin. Even lam is skipped, then the next letter sin.
It's a shamsi word, so lam should be skipped.
Okay. Lam should be skipped, mashallah. Shamsi letter. But the sin has a tashdid. It means there are two sin. The first one is sakin.
So for mim,
so wait.
Zamma.
Mim, ساكن سين ساكن two ساكن letters or no
yes
so what which حركة do you assign with
زمة زمة
زمة
ضمة so كم هم
Oh, sir,
tum.
Because the before letter is Zamma, alaykum.
That's okay. No, it is not the point, okay? Maybe sometimes in some words you'll find that there is no Dhamma before it, but still you do it. Maybe. I'm saying that's not the rule. The rule is with these four, three words, okay? Remember that three words. So whenever you want to read them with any other word, like, but remember, kum. The meme is sakin at the end, mm-hmm. okay? Then there is another word that starts with a sakin letter. So there is a disaster. You gotta deal with this, okay? You gotta fix this. So how to fix this?
Kum.
Ah, kumul.
Kum.
Okay? Or whatever, any other silent letter that we have. I mean, second letter that we have. So, alaykumussalam. Okay?
Alaykumussalam.
Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim wa ulaika humul muflihun. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ In Surah Al-Baqarah, the first page we have. Right?
Yes.
Thank you so much to those who help us hold these kind of sessions. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Stay with us with the Let's Recite the Qur'an al-Kareem. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري
Brothers and sisters, In this part of the Kumail supplication, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَكُنِ اللَّهُمَّ بِعِزَّتِكَ لِي فِي كُلِّ الْأَحْوَالِ رَؤُوفًا And by your might, O Allah, be kind to me in all states.
وعلي في جميع الأمور أطوفة. And be gracious to me in all my affairs. We have all experienced, we have all recognized the mercy of the Almighty Allah by paying attention to the instances of His mercy. And this is how we can all perceive the greatness and the vastness of His mercy. In fact, mentioning this part of the Kumail supplication after the part in which the supplicant confesses to his sins might be telling us the fact that you can remove your chastisement by supplication, by confessing to your sins, and by being truly repentant, and then asking the All-Compassionate to be kind to you and to be gracious to you in all affairs. Now, as we said, the easiest way for recognizing the mercy of the Lord is paying attention to the different instances that we can understand His mercy better.
Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence. O Allah, I beg you by your greatness to be compassionate to me in all circumstances, and be gracious to me in all affairs.
It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The Ocean of Dua by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
In one story, Sheikh Baha'i says, a reliable man once told me about a sinner who had died, and his wife asked the people for help in washing and the burial of his body. But the people hated that dead sinful man so much that no one cooperated with the wife. So she had to hire someone to bring him to the city's public prayer mosque so that the believers might help and hold the ritual there. But still, no one attended that ritual. So she asked the hired man to take the dead body to the desert and bury it without washing and shrouding. There was a mountain near that desert in which a pious man was living. He had spent all his life in worshipping Allah, and the people living there knew him for his piety. He was well known among the people. As soon as he saw the sinful man's body, he went to attend his burial ritual. When the neighboring people heard it, they rushed to accompany the pious man. And people asked the pious man why he was attending the sinner's ritual. And he answered, "In my dream, I was told to come to this site of the desert, where a single woman is accompanying a dead body, and pray for it, since he is forgiven." Everybody was astonished at this moment, at this happening. The pious man called the sinner's wife and asked her about her husband. She answered, "Most of the days he was engaged in one sin or the other." And the pious man asked her again, "Had you seen any good deeds from him?" She replied, "I saw only three good deeds from him. First, that every day after committing sin, he changed clothes and began praying humbly. Second, that his home was never void of orphans, and he was more kind to them than his own children. And third, whenever he got up at night, he cried and said, O Allah, where in the hell will you place this sinner? That is when the people understood that it is possible even the one who is well known in the city for his sins, for being sinful, to be subjected to the mercy of the Almighty Allah. And it is Almighty Allah that can be kind to the sinful servants in all states and in all their affairs. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, كُنِ اللَّهُمَّ بِعِزَّتِكَ لِي فِي كُلِّ الْأَحْوَالِ رَؤُوفًا. Be kind to me in all states, my state of committing a sin and my state of praying and worshipping you. وَعَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ عَطُوفًا. Be gracious to me in all my affairs, the affairs that I'm doing for you and the affairs that I'm negligent and unaware of you. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program. We will continue talking about this part of the Qumayyah supplication, God willing, in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners from all around the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another edition from a series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Like always, we have invited a scholar from Qom Seminary Schools, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, to the show to help us answer the questions that we pose in this series of shows. Usually, we are trying to answer doubts or misconceptions in Islamic beliefs. The doubts which have been asked by different questioners from around the world. The question of the day is about the revelation of the Holy Quran. And it has been asked that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not revealed the Holy Quran earlier than the dawn of Islam, because all of us know that the Quran has been revealed to the Holy Prophet, to the heart of the Holy Prophet, at the dawn of Islam. So if we believe that this is a comprehensive book, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually refrained from revealing it at the very beginning of the creation, at the time that he created Adam, alayhi salam? This is a question that we need to ask it from respected guest speaker, Sheikh Nur Muhammad. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, Sheikh. So the question is that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually revealed this Quran so late? So could it be earlier? I mean, could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this comprehensive book from the beginning of the creation? So what was the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought so many books that we believe that they were not complete books, right, and not as comprehensive as the Holy Quran, and reached to this level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the time, let's say at the end of the Prophet, revealed it to the Holy Prophet of Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Can you give the book of a university student to the elementary school?
No.
Of course not. Rationally speaking, it is not acceptable, because a boy in the elementary school cannot recognize and cannot understand books in university levels. Mm-hmm. So this boy needs to grow up, needs okay. to educate, and gradually obtain the capacity to have other books, other higher books, okay?
Yeah.
And exactly we're talking about the human being. In mm-hmm. the same case, human being in elementary time, from the beginning of the creation, this individual and the capacity of human being was very limited, rationally speaking, and many other limitations in the human being.
Mm-hmm.
So, human being was immature, and in the immaturity case cannot receive the highest level of revelation. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the revelation from beginning, okay? Yeah. For example, we have the different, of course, we are not, we do not have many information about the how many revelation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have some verses of Noble Quran. Allah said that, Suhuf Ibrahim, okay, some of the revelation, some of the chapters and books to the Ibrahim, or yeah. Prophet Noah, or to Prophet Moses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Torah.
Yeah.
And we have the Gospel and Injil to Prophet Jesus. We have وَأَتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ زَبُورًا. We have sent some of the revelation and some of the books, sacred books, to Prophet David. We yeah. have these revelation in order for him.